I think we're missing a lot of times instruction in what worship really is, because so many people approach the worship portion of the service as in like, okay, now I'd like you to do what I want.
Oh, sure.
Is that what, that's not what worship's about.
That's not what worship is about.
But it's not what you want either, Mark.
And so interesting about that is we have kind of transposed the term worship to just mean singing. But worship is really a lifestyle that gives honor to the God we serve. It's the whole life. It's everything. All of the emotions, all of the personality, everything that we do. And the singing is just the overflow of that. And so when you kind of spell it out, the Bible instructs us to lift your hands. The Bible instructs us to make a joyful noise. Just start just with the basics. Like anything, when you have some good food, that's actually a song of praise to the chef. There's a melody there. You're understanding that there was something good about what I just tasted. So the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So that your response becomes, God is good. Or magnify the Lord with me. It becomes an overflow of a lifestyle of worship.
You know what we're about to do? We're about to get real. We're about to have conversations that Christians have behind closed doors. That's where we're going. Why? Because we're family. Ustedes son mi familia.
So this is the Brian and Janelle podcast. She's Janelle and I'm Brian. If you don't want to miss anything, all you have to do is just hit that subscribe button to get a notification whenever we drop a new episode. This is the Brian and Janelle podcast.
There he is. And now, leading worship live for Walkworthy Men's Conference 2020,
Myron Day!
Yes,
oh, that is awesome.
I'm excited.
No.
So excited to be here.
Welcome, Myron Davis.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Have you hung out on the show with us before?
Not on the show, no.
I know you and I have spent time together,
yeah.
But I...
Yeah, we went to lunch together
did he make
4 years
pay?
Ago.
Because yeah. He likes free food. He made you pay?
No, it was good.
You did that.
Wow, I was nervous for a minute that I did make him pay. But now you are normally leading worship on Sunday mornings at New Community Bible Fellowship,
yep.
Right?
Yeah, I've been there for going on 19 years.
Oh.
19 years, and you made it.
Yeah, it's still here. Still here.
After all the people going like, that one was too fast,
that's
that
right.
One was too loud.
Oh, yeah.
You
oh,
made
yeah.
it.
Oh, yeah, still there. Still there.
So now, I mean, we know when we get all these guys together at Walk Worthy, we're going to have guys anywhere from Amish country to inner city. So what even goes through your mind and how you bring together a diverse group of guys for worship?
Oh, like, man, that's a great question. So this is actually my fourth time leading. I led, maybe 2013, 14, and possibly 15.
And 15 would have been my first
say,
one.
Yeah. Len came home from one of those, and he was like, man, he had a whole room of people jamming.
Yeah.
He's like, to see men from different walks, and they were just like all into the music.
Hey, guys yeah. like me up? Jamming.
Yeah. Like,
yeah,
even,
absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially.
Yeah.
Well, I just heard so for the awesome. First time you play bass and guitar, bass and drums.
I do, actually,
that's
but
really
I didn't
cool.
want you to know that. I was
yeah,
afraid
you put it out there, man.
No, but see, when I find out, I don't, you don't
so
even
you
know
So you
got
to bring
that.
It on the 29th.
No, you got someone better than me. So what do you do? I mean, because you know somebody's like, Myron, we need hymns. Someone else is like, Myron, you better do some gospel or I'm not going to show up. Or,
yeah,
you know.
So we try to mix it up. We try to mix it up. I lead congregations on Sunday of mixed crowd. Some people love to jump and some people just sit there and look at me. So I'm used to the I'm used to it from Sunday to Sunday anyways.
Yeah.
But what I find that when these men come together, the excitement is just there. Pastor Mark Joby had us on our feet before we even sang the last time I was there. It was incredible. And so they're ready. They're ready. So we just find songs that men can sing. I always joke with my wife because when there are no women in the audience, a lot of times the octaves of the songs are just way down here. And it kind of sounds like,
You got to pick the right key. I'll tell you that.
The right key. Yeah, that's right. But it's great, man, having the guys so excited to be there in worship.
So how do you, I mean, I think we're missing a lot of times instruction in what worship really is because so many people approach the worship portion of a service, whether it's at a men's conference or not, as in like, okay, now I'd like you to do what I want.
Oh, sure.
Is that what, that's not what worship's about.
That's not what worship is about.
But it's not what you want either, Mark.
And so interesting about that is we have kind of transposed the term worship to just mean singing. But worship is really a lifestyle that gives honor to the God we serve. It's the whole life. It's everything. All of the emotions, all of the personality, everything that we do. And the singing is just, an overflow of that. So it's really just a portion of worship. And so when you kind of spell it out, there's not so much pressure on having to get it all in the moment. Some of it is the Bible instructs us to lift hands. The Bible instructs us to make a joyful noise. Just start just with the basics. But as you learn more about God, and I heard Hannah on the last hour, man, it was really so touching as I was driving. And I'm like, wow, that she's got it.
Yeah.
Right.
But just really understanding who God is. The singing is just overflow. Like anything, when you have some good food, that's actually a song of praise to the chef. There's a melody there. Oh. You're understanding that there was something good about what I just tasted. So the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good, so that your response becomes, God is good, or magnify the Lord with me. It becomes an overflow of a lifestyle of worship.
So what do you say to the person who wants to worship like they see someone else worshiping, that maybe fell all out or raised their hand or cried or something?
Yeah, so I grew up in a Bapticostal kind of environment where my father was more into Pentecostal style of expression. My mother was too. She would go there, but the churches we were in were a little more conservative. So I've seen different ranges of growing up in it all. And what I've come to understand is that each of us have personalities. And Hannah mentioned this earlier. I heard you guys talking about this. But each of us have personalities we have to surrender to the Lord.
Yeah.
Some of us are more reserved, so our passion comes out in different ways. Some of us are really excited, so it'll come out in certain ways. But the expression is not the worship. Expression is just the personality. So there may be some who jump up and down, and there may be some who sit quietly and observe. But the worship is what's going on the inside, where you're recognizing who God is. But most times, anything that strikes a person with any grave impact will cause you to express. That's just part of it. Even the most solemn Marine out there, when something really strikes him, he will at least, there'll be a groan. And the Bible even talks about groaning. So some of our worship will express itself audibly or even visibly. And the Bible instructs us, this isn't a denominational thing. The Bible says to make a joyful noise. So just starting there, I have to teach men. I say, guys, what does a joyful noise sound like? You know, let's practice it. So we practice in church.
Well, and that's subjective though, isn't it?
Sure. And it's personal. But what does it sound like? If you've got one, let's hear what it sounds like. To some, they may and sing. To some, it may just be. And don't get me wrong. There's some men who you don't really want to hear them sing as much, but it's not for us at the end of the day.
Right. Yeah. So, make a quieter noise.
Sure,
about that.
Sure.
But no, I know what you're trying to say here, because this is a really important point. And because I bet there's somebody who's in a Pentecostal church every Sunday that doesn't want to jump around, but they feel like they have to. Yeah. Or somebody in a church like I grew up in that's hands in pockets and they want to raise their hand. How do we create an environment where people are free to express that inner worship in an outward way?
What we do at our church, again, is we make room for the people who don't move around and don't say. And I just ask them, join me in this exercise. Let's do this exercise. And I'll write a simple chorus. Lord, you are good and your mercy endures. Just sing that.
Keep going.
Lord,
go ahead.
You are good and your mercy endures. I said, try this, man. And I said, what if you're singing this in the house while you're shaving? Just, Lord, you are good. And your wife says, his mercy endures forever. And the ladies will sing that.
Oh,
and there'll
nice.
Be a chorus of the men kind of singing in a call and response. But I just give them an opportunity to sing a simple phrase straight from the Bible, scripture. It's not a full song. It's something they can remember. And then we just let it breathe. And just those kind of exercises that you do outside of the church. When you come in, it's kind of hard to learn how to do it on the spot. And sometimes you'll feel kind of pressured to do it if the worship leaders, come on, you can do better.
Yeah.
So we try not to do a lot of that. But it is a process of growing and really just instruction in the Word.
If you want to grow in worship, And there's the what you do in public, but even personally, we want to put formulas and say, well, I'm supposed to be, it's supposed to look this way. Yeah. How would you know in your heart, okay, I'm progressing in my growth in worshiping the Lord? What would you tell somebody?
It doesn't look like anything that I've ever seen. I couldn't put a formula on it, except to say that worship, the way Jesus described it, is to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And it has to do with just knowing him. That has to do with spending time in his word and placing worth on the relationship. That's what the worship is worship is. Mm-hmm. It's placing value on it. So anything that you place value on, you treat it a different way. You just do. If there's a program that you want to see, you make sure that you get off of work, get the kids where they need to be, put dinner where it needs to be so that you can, at 8 o'clock, watch the show that's worth your time, or if it's a movie or an event. And the same way, when we value our time with the Lord, we make time for it. We treat it differently. And that's kind of the core of what worship is, to worship God in spirit and in truth.
Is it safe to say that formulas perhaps even ruin worship?
Oh, absolutely. The Bible gives you an outline in the Psalms. Make a joyful noise. You can start there.
Yeah.
Come before his presence with singing. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Mm. Be thankful. It gives you some parameters, but then based on the personality, it'll look different because some people's joy is, they run around, and some people are like, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. This is just this is the level it gets to. You know, it's just a hand clap.
Well, the hardest one, though, I think, as a performer and worship leader, in your case, is the person who actually is making a joyful noise with kind of a scowl.
What do you mean?
Like someone who's in the middle of worship and it's serious, and if you look at them, you might go, are they mad at me?
Oh,
but what they're doing is in deep, like, reflection about the Lord.
Oh, sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
You actually offer describing a situation where you were like, thought nobody was worshiping.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So our congregation is, again, we have a mixed congregation. Some people really are passionate and excited and expressive. And some men particularly will just stand. And for several years, I would really go back to the team and, guys, we got to change the song. I don't think it's working for the man. Or what are we doing here? The notes, you know, we would be so focused on the performance. But we began to just pray after we would come off the stage, as opposed to evaluating ourselves in performance. I said, let's just pray and ask the Lord to receive our worship. Let's pray and ask him to change our hearts, check our hearts. And what I started to notice is that the men would be comfortable enough to say, hey, I know I don't move around doing worship a lot, but I got to tell you, it's really working on my heart. So as a worship leader, the real chore for a worship leader is to stay out of the way. It's really hard because we want to hear ourselves in the microphone. We want to kind of make sure that people can hear. We've been given a gift and we want to use it. We want to kind of stay above the, you know, with some harmonies and melodies. But the real chore is to stay out of the way so that people can have a moment worshiping the Lord without hearing my voice so much in their head.
and see, that points to one of the tensions I've experienced just being I hate even saying musician around a guy like you. But I mean, like, I've played my bass before in church. How about that? But it's the tension of, like, I want to lead people in worship, but I also want to perform with excellence. But I don't want my performance with excellence to get in the way of my worship. So how do you do that as a musician? How do you actually do your very best for God without making it about you?
I say it's a prayerful and kind of scary task that I approach every Sunday. So I started singing in church, in my father's church. It was very small church, maybe two families. But my father would get up every Sunday and he would cry and preach. He played saxophone. My brother would play bass and I would play drums. My mother played organ. So I saw worship and praise from an aspect of there was no show. It wasn't show. We just love to sing, and we know we're called to sing, so we're going to do it. There weren't lights. There was no stage. There was an altar. And so that's how I grew up. All through my teenage years, I saw that. It wasn't until I came back from college that churches had kind of transformed into where their stages and lights were really kind of a big thing. And so the worship leader was more of a performer. He stood out more. The praise team stood out more. And so in those years in between, I spent some time as a national recording artist where it was about me on the stage singing, getting people to sing lyrics that I wrote and songs that I sang. And there was one moment where this is where the Lord called me back from the R&B music. I was standing on a stage. It was about 4,000 or 5,000 people in an audience, and I heard them singing some lyrics that I had written. And it, for a musician, that's the best thing ever.
I bet, yeah.
4,000 or 5,000 people shouting these lyrics, and I remember putting my arms up. And what I could describe is a feeling of glory, like I could have floated on this feeling. And at that moment, or maybe a few minutes after, because I did enjoy it for a moment, but the Lord reminded me of the scripture where he saw Lucifer falling, falling as an angel, falling from the stars because he wanted to exalt himself to be like the Most High. And it made me think, wow, is this is what God is after. And this is why I can't keep this for myself, because there's no way to come back from that. I've never forgotten that feeling. And so I imagine that artists who live in that moment struggle when they come off stage of just being a normal person. They want those accolades. I imagine that's why they get hooked on narcotic or hooked on different other things, because you want to keep that feeling of glory. It was so powerful. And it didn't happen a lot. I mean, I was a rising star, quote unquote. I didn't arrive anywhere. But that moment, God gave me a glimpse of what he is after. So every Sunday now when I get up, I say, guys, we got to make sure that we are not putting the emphasis on our gifts. We got to get out of the way. So worship leading for us just becomes, here's a song that we're going to sing to the Lord. We look at our lyrics to make sure that they are directed toward the Lord or directed toward the people to exhort, so that we are worshiping Christ. And we try not to sing a lot of songs that just talk so much about us.
Yeah.
I'm going to be, or I will, or we really want to be talking to the Lord with our worship.
Again, we're hanging out with Myron Davis. He's worship leader at New Community Bible Fellowship, also our worship leader, him and his team, for Walkworthy Men's Conference coming up here. I love the way you're describing this, because I think it's hard often for people who aren't artists to understand the pain and tension that artists feel.
Yeah.
Because there is this odd thing of you're supposed to be a vehicle for worship. And then there's people who try to tell you to suppress your talent.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not about you. But I think God wants you to do your very best.
Absolutely.
I remember actually one of the most worshipful times for me was when I was in a church and this violinist came up and performed her heart out. There's no lyrics or anything. I've never worshipped more in my life, and I've never heard anything so beautiful.
Yeah.
And so how do you as an artist, because I don't know how to explain to people that, stop telling me to suppress talent.
Yeah.
We need to let God-given talent shine for the Lord.
Absolutely. And I think, again, it comes back to a personal relationship with the Lord, because everybody has a gift. Everybody has, I'll say, a treasure that somebody will compliment. So my wife is really into natural hair. She had come up with a product for her hair and was kind of letting some people at our church use it. But everywhere she goes, people say, wow, I love your hair. What did you do to your hair? And after a while, what I would tell her is, I said, babe, so the hair is a gift. So if people ask you about it, you get a chance to tell people about the Lord. And it sounds weird, but that's what the talent is for. That's what the treasure is for. Not just for us to say, wow, hey, I've been playing music since I was 4, but it's really to say, let me tell you about the giver of good gifts. And you just transform the conversation right into giving glory for the Lord. And
that's not asking her to suppress her talent.
Absolutely not.
Just like we're not saying to a preacher, you know, you're a little too good at inspiring people. Could you tone it down?
Yeah.
But for some reason, artists get that critique far too often.
Yeah, sure. They do.
And I think it's even, sometimes you look at I've seen like maybe a guitar player doing a solo or something, and you can see they're worshiping. I see they're worshiping. Somebody else goes, look at that guy just performing. How do we educate people about the arts and its value for the kingdom?
Well, I go back to the scripture where the Bible gives us parameters for worship, and the parameters are make a joyful noise. David played skillfully before the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
He played his, and so again, it comes back down to the heart. I've seen people to very passionate about their gift, and then you can tell though when the worship is just a performance. I think that has to do a lot again with the person and where they are with the Lord.
Two quick things I want to remind you of again. Myron Davis, he's a musician and a filmmaker from New Community Bible Fellowship. He's leading worship at Walkworthy Men's Conference. And I wish we had more time on this, but you have a film trailer you want people to go check out.
Yeah. One Last Prayer, The film trailer is on YouTube and Vimeo. If you type in One Last Prayer, the movie, it'll come up. And it's also on my Facebook page, Myron Davis.
And we can share it on our page, too, so folks can check it out.
Excellent.
And this is why I love hanging out with artists, because we can cheer for this kind of thing. So One Last Prayer?
One Last Prayer.
Hey, hold up. Where are you going? You know you liked your time with us. You want more. So look down, hit that button right there, subscribe, and you'll get updated episodes, and then you can hang some more.
And guess what? You can help us. How? A 5-star rating.
You can also hang with us live, weekday 6 to 9 a.m. Interact with us, talk with us. Download the Moody Radio app.
Or at brianandjanelle.org.
And we don't put all this together all by ourselves. There's some great people behind all this production. We want to thank Ron Eastwood, Kelly Ryder, Paul Carter, Doug Hayner, Mike Reynolds, and our awesome and fearless leader, Josue Villa.
And finally, this podcast is a production of Moody Radio in Cleveland, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.
Well, Brian, that's a wrap.
Yep.